What happened? I've been asked that question 22 times by 5 different people in the past 10 minutes. I suppose they keep asking because I have yet to give a good answer. I'm in shock, but mostly I'm worried sick. I just cold-cocked the person who welcomed me into this world with a smile. The first thing I did after coming back inside was wash the blood off my hand. It wasn't a matter of erasing the evidence. I had no intention of denying the truth. But I didn't fully know the truth either. Someone was out there. Someone attacked me. But telling them that, well, it will just make me look crazy. Crazier. Amy is lying on a cot in the living area. Dr. Clark and my mother are tending to her. The rest of the crew stands around waiting like sentinels. Mira kneels by her mother's side, her eyes wet and closed. Is she praying, I wonder? My father stands behind me, hands on my shoulders, but I'm not sure if he's comforting me or restraining me. Amy moans and blinks for a moment, but doesn't regain consciousness. Dr. Clark looks back at me, his face a mix of anger, sympathy, and fear. As the rest of the eyes turn toward me, I know the question is going to come again. What happened? The tone of his voice tells me I better answer this time. I'm sorry, I say.
Don't be sorry, Dr. Clark says. Be honest.
I didn't mean to hurt her. He gives me a long, hard stare.
I believe you.
Some of my tension dissolves with those 3 words. I'm not sure why I assumed they would all treat me like some kind of untrustworthy criminal. They know me. I take a deep breath and then spill my emotional guts. There was someone else out there. Dr. Clark looks skeptical, and I know why. He saw the blood on my hand and is wondering if I'm trying to cast the blame on someone else. I'm not saying I didn't do this. I did. Colette gasps. But I didn't know it was Amy. The next words are hard to say because even I know they sound ridiculous. I was attacked.
In the middle of the Antarctic night?
Colette asks, her voice steeped in a thick tea of doubt.
Were any of you outside tonight?
She asks the crew. The universal answer to this question is no, of course. Even I know that, and I tell them so. It wasn't any of you.
Then who?
Someone asks. I met Dr. Clark's eyes once again. He seems to understand something unusual happened outside. For a moment, I think he's trying to tell me not to speak, but write his expression off to confusion. It was a man, I say. I think he had red hair. Long red hair. Maybe closer to maroon, and I'm not sure he was wearing clothes.
What a piece of work,
Colette says, before letting out a laugh that lets me know she's not buying a word of this. But I don't care about what she thinks. I need Dr. Clark to believe me. I need Mira to believe me. And my parents. I can feel my father's grip on my shoulders tightening. His anger is building with the ridiculousness of my story.
I'm telling the truth,
I say, surprised that I'm standing up to the tank-sized woman. Someone was out there. He punched me, knocked me down. I thought Amy was him.
Solomon.
The doubt in my father's voice stings with betrayal. How could he believe I did this? I try to shrug away from my father, but he's holding me tight. I've never hit anyone in my life.
Could have fooled me, Colette says.
She's out for the count. Might have a concussion.
Is that true? I say, a rising panic making me sick to my stomach.
Most likely, Dr. Clark says.
Before the interrogation can continue, the roof rumbles. I instantly remember the sounds I heard upon waking. I'd assumed it was part of a waking dream, but I've been awake for too long for that to be the case again. I know for sure when I see everyone in the room look up. One of the crew, a man I haven't met yet, dashes to the laptop. I can't see the screen, but I'm sure he's checking the weather. My suspicions are confirmed a moment later.
Holy hell! Wind speed is up to 70 miles per hour!
The roof shakes again, louder this time.
80 miles per hour!
My dad takes his hands off my shoulders and enters the hallway leading outside. I hear the second door open a moment later, and then quickly close. He returns a moment later, covered in snow.
It's a whiteout, he says.
I couldn't see more than a foot.
Where'd this come from?
Someone asks.
There was nothing on the weather report.
Dr. Clark and I share a glance. We're both wondering the same thing. Is this my fault?